Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
First, I want to thank you all for joining us today to talk about what makes parenting so hard, a lot harder than we expected. And we all know how challenging parenting is and how hard it is for parents to carve out time for themselves. So thank you again for taking and making this time today to be with us. We would love to give more people a chance to come up on the call because, as you know, we're all parents. And so I'm going to talk for just a few minutes about Hand in Hand while everyone is joining in, and then we'll begin with our topic. So I'm just going to check to see. Yes, so at some point I will try to give a few of you a chance to say or ask questions, but right now, since we had a lot of static noise in the background, I had to mute everyone except for Catherine and me. So if you need at any point to say anything or ask anything, all you need to do is to press star 2, and then I will see your hand raised on the screen here in front of me, and then I'll know to unmute you so we can hear you. But right now, at this point, I think we're fine this way. Let's say a little bit about Hand in Hand. So for those of you who are new to Hand in Hand and our approach, let me start by saying that Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization located in Palo Alto, California. And its approach is currently being taught all over the U.S., Australia, Europe, and we also have instructors here in Israel, South Africa, Egypt, China, and India, which I find really, really exciting. And when Patty Whipler, who is the founder and program director of this organization, when she first started doing this work, which was almost 30 years ago, she did it because she realized that parents are working really hard and there just isn't enough support for their work. So what we at Hand in Hand try to do is bring parents information, tools, and lots of support for the vital work of parenting, because we really believe in this work. It's probably the most important work you'll ever do in your life. And so with this approach, we are looking for the well-being of the kids as well as the parents. We understand how important it is to take good care of ourselves in order to be there for our children. And because we know that the work of nurturing children is not work you can do well all by yourself, we support parents through classes and support groups, either in person or online. There's tons of articles on our website, which I hope you read a few. And if you haven't, I really encourage you to look there. We have the Listening to Children booklets and podcasts that all can be found on our website for free. And we also have an online discussion group, both on Yahoo and on Facebook. We offer free teleseminars like this one, and there's also a great blog with parent success stories. Another thing we offer are intensive training, both for parents and for professionals. And actually, in September, we're going to start another round of parent intensive classes, and I'll probably talk a bit more about it later in the call. And also, if you feel like you need some more personal support focused on issues you're dealing with in your family, you can always go on the website and schedule a one-on-one consultation with one of our certified instructors who will be happy to listen and guide you through the parenting challenges you're currently facing. So today I'm leading this this call with my fellow instructor, Catherine Fisher, and we would like to introduce ourselves to you first before we start talking about our topic. Let me just quickly take a look here on my screen. Okay, so for those of you who've just joined us, I'm here with Catherine Fisher, and we're happy to have you all join us today. I needed to mute you all because we had a lot of background noise. So if at any point you need to ask or say anything, we can't hear you, but what you could do is press star 2 and we'll see your hand raised on the screen, and I know that you want to say something. I do want to tell you that we are going to leave some time for question at the end, so don't worry about not being able to ask your question. We will leave you time for that. So let me start by introducing myself. So I am Ravid Eisenman Abramson, and I'm a trainer with Hand in Hand. I live in Israel, and I have two daughters who are now 19 and 15. I started working with Hand in Hand in 2009, back when my youngest daughter was 5. And back then, my family was living in the U.S., but for the past 7 years, I've been doing this work in Israel. And for me and my family, learning and teaching this approach has been like a really great gift. It almost felt like having a window into my kids' mind. Raising my daughters, especially my younger one, often felt like I was missing on something. I kept looking for that missing link to her very, very stormy emotional behavior. And I used to get into many power struggles with her and often felt very frustrated at how stubborn she was. Something there didn't really make sense to me. And at that point, I took my first TARS class, which was back then called the Building Emotional Understanding class. And things have really started to shift. What I felt was that it helped me find new ways to connect with her during her emotional moments, and it helped her clear the emotional tension that she was carrying and that made her act the way she did. And the funny thing was that right after I started, maybe a year after I started using the tools, my older daughter, whom I always felt was very easy to figure out, and I thought I knew her like the palm of my hand, then she hit adolescence, and at that point I couldn't be more grateful to be learning about these tools beforehand. It came in really, really handy. So at this point, I would like to ask Catherine to introduce herself. Hi, Catherine.
Hey, hi. Thanks, Ravid.
Hi. Sure.
Glad everybody's here. Thanks for joining us. And as Ravid said, my name is Catherine Fisher, and I live in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with my family, my husband, and my son, who's almost 18. For work, I'm a former elementary teacher and currently a birth and postpartum doula, along with being an instructor for Hand in Hand. Back when I was a new parent, I learned the listening tools of hand-in-hand parenting, and these helped me tremendously in the early years. I didn't know that I was going to have to play. It seems kind of obvious now, but I did not expect to have to play. I thought I was just going to, you know, be loving and kind and cuddling, and doing hand-in-hand, using the hand-in-hand tools helped me become really good at playing. It wasn't easy at first, but it actually got to the point where I enjoyed it. And kids wanted to come to our house because they knew I would play with them, and really helped with my son, and still does. and also really helped me with setting limits because, again, I thought I was just going to be able to be kind and reasonable, and that would make my son be kind and reasonable and follow along with my good ideas, and that didn't work. And I had a really hard time with either giving in or yelling. And so using all the tools together, I was able to get a lot better at limit setting and staying with him when he didn't like the limits that I needed to set.
Yeah.
So they just helped me and my son build and maintain a relationship that's close and trusting. And now in the teen years, I can really see the benefits. I mean, I still get confused. I'm still not always sure what to do, but there's just this connection that's so, so steady and strong that it helps us through. And I'm really grateful for that. And because these tools have made such a difference for me, I really love to introduce them to other parents. So I'm really glad. We're glad to be here today with all of you.
Hey, I'm happy you're here, Catherine.
Thanks.
Wonderful. Before we talk about our challenges with parenting, I want to just quickly give a quick overview about the approach and the main ideas behind it. So the first idea is that our children are born to feel connected with us. And by feel connected, we mean feel close, supported, loved, seen, cared for. And this sense of connection is actually what they need in order to learn, to build friendships, to develop good judgment, and to build resilience and confidence as they grow. And so from the very start, when kids are born, they are constantly seeking for connection. Young children are built to have lots and lots of relaxed eye contact with their parents and built to be held often, not always, but often, and are built to have an adult's mind who is attuned to them and willing to connect to them any time of the day. So they're looking for constant feed of connection. The second idea is that when children don't feel connected, and I think this is what brought us to this call today, their behavior goes off track, and they signal to us for help. Often, this type of off-track behavior is what makes our relationship with our children harder, and this is what makes our heart feel sour. Any of you with young children probably remember or notice now how you can change a baby's diaper all playfully and jiggly, and then by the time you went off for a minute to wash your hand, big cry would start. Or with even older kids, you could play with them all afternoon, and then your phone rings, and 30 seconds, really, I timed it once, 30 seconds into the call, your kids are all over the place, grabbing, shouting, insulting each other. And all that nice cooperation that was there when you were with them falls apart in half a minute. And I clearly remember that with my daughters when they were younger. And the minute the phone was in my hand, they would come up with tons of questions and requests, and they needed me right now. So we usually don't interpret it as disconnection, but for them there is a true sense of emergency, almost like losing air. So it's really important that we as parents remember how easy it is for our kids to feel disconnected and scared because they're so vulnerable. The next idea we talk about, and hand in hand, is how fostering laughter and play, just like Catherine just talked about, without tickling, and supporting children to have good, hearty cries and tantrum can help our children feel more fully connected to us and help them leave difficult behaviors behind. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it pretty soon. And the last idea, which is really, really important and really unique to our approach too, is that it is very crucial and important that we parents get support ourselves. We need it and we deserve it. And this is what help us to overcome the emotional challenges of parenting. So we believe that we can build that support and have much more success in meeting our own needs and our children when we have it. So let's look a little bit about what makes parenting so hard. And I want to start by just talking about what I call the gap. And I think the reason we chose this topic today is because we parents often get stuck in this gap between what we imagine parenting to be like and what it actually is. I think many of us came to being a parent with a set of beliefs and values about the thing we will do and won't do, and we have pictured our kids to be a certain way, and they often turned out to be a total opposite of what we imagined. And I think this gap between our imagination and the reality can be a real trap. And that makes it just a hard starting point. Also, there are many circumstances in our life that we could not have anticipated or we have no control of. And these circumstances have an effect on both our kids and ourselves. So in our call today, we hope to give you a better understanding of what you're pushing against as parents. To some of it, you might be aware, and there are other parts of it where maybe you're not aware of. And also what it is that your kids are dealing with and how that is and how that is interfering with their behavior. So let's see. I'm going to try. I wanted to give just a few, of maybe two or three of you, a chance to tell me why you came on the call today, and I would really appreciate it if you could keep the description brief and vivid. So I will try to unmute you and see if we can get. Okay, here I see someone from, it's probably Pontiac, Michigan. Let me unmute you here. Hello?
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
What's your name?
So, I'm Angela.
Hi, Angela. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
Good to have you.
So, I'm here because I have 4-year-old twins. And my son is a very, very sensitive person, and his reactions to everything, whether it's he can't tie his shoe or, you know, just things aren't going his way, or I say no, or even use a slightly stern tone of voice, is to just throw himself on the floor and have a tantrum and scream and cry. And I've seen people who tell me to do things like, put him in his room if he's not listening, and I can see his frustration just absolutely mounting when I do that, and I'm looking for a different way.
Good. You came to the right place. I'm really happy you're here. Really, really happy you're here, and I hope to be able to give you some ideas as we go on, and then I will definitely talk about the issues that you've mentioned here. And if you feel like you have more questions, there might be some time for that at the end, too. So thank you, Angela. Anyone else want to introduce themselves and tell us a little bit about what you're dealing with? You can press star 2, and then I'll see your hand raised on my screen here. And I know you want to say something. Okay, great. So I see someone from San Jose. Is that Katie, I think? Just one second, Katie. Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Did I say it right? Is it Kate? It's Caitlin?
Caitlin.
Okay, yes. Great. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi. So you said, yeah, I'm in San Jose, California, and I have a two-year-old son, and we have been dealing for quite a number of months with aggressive behavior, so mostly biting and pinching.
Yeah.
And it's mostly with me. It's sometimes at school, but mostly with me. And it just kind of escalates because I get very upset when I'm being attacked. And
of course.
You know, so everything that goes along with that, and I would share in what Angela was saying of just the when things don't go his way, he's very stubborn and just wants everything exactly his way. And when it doesn't go his way, it's kind of a difficult family situation. So, yeah, that's just looking for alternatives to what we have been trying.
Great. Thank you for looking for alternatives. Really.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, so I think that would be good for now. Let me just make sure that we're getting everyone muted again. Okay. So now I would like to let Catherine talk a little bit about the current situation for parents and the different factors at play for parents today. We're eager to hear you, Catherine. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing your current situation, Angela and Caitlin. I could totally relate. Brought back a lot of memories. And so when things aren't going well in our families, we often feel like it's our fault or blame our children for making life difficult. We don't take into account the unrealistic demands that are placed on us as parents. We're supposed to function without any glitches when we're exhausted. We're supposed to be knowledgeable about every situation, and we weren't given much information to prepare for parenting. And at the same time, we're given too much conflicting information. And we're supposed to do more in 24 hours than is really possible. And at Hand in Hand Parenting, we think it can be helpful to keep in mind four challenges that we all face as parents. To some degree or another, every parent we know experiences exhaustion, confusion, isolation, and guilt. One big reason for this is that parenting is treated like a private project that we take on, almost like a hobby. If parenting were treated like the extremely important work that it is, things would be very different for parents. So let's take a look at these four challenges one by one. Exhaustion is so common among parents. We know that babies and young children have different sleep needs than adults, but parents are expected to function according to the schedule of the work world. We're often back to work too soon after adding a child to our family, or working too many hours just trying to make ends meet. Being a stay-at-home parent is exhausting too, with the 24/7 needs of our children usually coming before our own needs. The adult world doesn't make many allowances for parents who are up at night with children and who have little time to rest or relax when they are home. As parents, many of us worry every day about our family's safety or security, and these stresses drain our energy too. Confusion is another challenge we usually run into on a daily basis. Why are our children acting the ways that they do? How should we respond to them? Or why doesn't our response get the results we hoped for? We don't get much preparation for being parents, and there's so much conflicting or one-size-fits-all information out there that sometimes the search for information just adds to our confusion. With the many competing demands for our time and attention, parents can end up feeling guilty about everything. If we're washing the dishes, we feel guilty for not playing with our children. If we play with them after dinner, we feel guilty about the messy kitchen. Or if we're at work, we feel guilty for not being with our children more. If we cut back on work, we feel guilty about the loss of income or what seems like our lack of commitment. sometimes it just feels like there's no way for us to do it right. Isolation can make all of these challenges even worse. We can be isolated physically and emotionally. Being home alone with children without other adults around is one way many parents are isolated. Parenting really takes more than two adults, but many of us don't have much help for the day-to-day work of parenting. Even when we have other parents to talk to, sometimes we don't feel comfortable talking about what is hard for us about parenting. When everyone puts only their best moments and perfect photos on social media, and the parents around us act like parenting is a breeze, we can feel even more alone with our challenges. One important step to making parenting a little easier is to begin by being a little easier on ourselves and our children. When a moment or a day or a month is hard because you are feeling exhausted, confused, guilty, or isolated, it's not your fault. There's no need to blame yourself or your children. It's a result of how the world treats us as parents. In addition to these common challenges faced by all of us at one time or another, there are other factors that can provide unique challenges for our individual families. Ravid is going to talk about some of these, and then we'll share some tips for what to do about how hard it can feel to be parents.
Great. Thank you, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so on top of all these factors that Catherine has mentioned that making parenting hard for us, there's always the personal factor. And by that, I mean all that baggage that we brought with us from all those years of being parented. I always say that to parents, and I really, truly believe it when I say that. Our parents did the best job they knew how. And in many cases, it wasn't perfect, maybe even far from being perfect. But that was the best they could do. And they also were under a lot of stress, and they didn't have the knowledge that we now have, all that brain research that is constantly telling us in the past 25 years. And they also didn't have the support. So in many cases, all those years left us as kids feeling lonely, scared, unheard, or unseen. So, of course, once we got to be parents, we promised ourselves that our kids will never have to feel this way. And we do our best to keep this promise to ourselves. But then our child is acting out and engages in all kinds of off-track behavior. And they're ignoring us when we talk to them or ask them for things. And they're fighting constantly with their sibling, or they're refusing to brush their teeth every night, or they are fighting sleep with all their might, or whatever it is that they're constantly doing. And at that point, we find ourselves feeling helpless and desperate. And often what comes up for us are those very old ways of parenting that we promised ourselves we would never use. And we find ourselves shouting, yelling, threatening, bribing, sending our kids to their room. We punish, we ignore, and we're actually being harsh in exactly the same way that we were being treated. So what's happening for us there is what we call re-stimulation. And it's that type of behavior that can drive us crazy, and we don't even know why exactly. Well, the reason why this is happening is because when we were little, we were either never allowed to act this way, and the thought of our child doing the things we couldn't even think about doing can drive us mad. Or it could be the fact that we did act in the same way our child is acting. The response that we got was harsh and painful. But the thing is that no matter what our choice was as children, we ended up with a lot of feeling that didn't get a chance to be heard. There were a lot of feelings that we had that weren't processed and that didn't get the right attention. And those old stored feelings are running the show right now. When we are facing our children, when we're helpless and we're tired and we're overwhelmed. And sometimes on good days, we can keep it all under control more or less. But when we're at our wit's end and we have no more energy or patience, it's almost impossible to keep it all, you know, nicely tucked, nicely wrapped. So when this is happening more and more often, we tend to feel that either something is wrong with our child or that something is actually wrong with us. And both of those interpretations are obviously not right and not very constructive. A better way to look at it is that both we, us as parents, and our children need some emotional support to process all those emotions. And that those emotions are stopping us from seeing the situation more clearly and acting in a more effective way. And we're soon going to offer you some tools that will give you an effective way to deal with all those feelings, both our own and our children, and a way to manage them in a much better way. I also want to bring our attention, so this is what makes it hard for us as parents, but there's also circumstances that makes it hard for our children that have, in a way, have nothing to do with us. And I want to talk a little bit about that. When it comes to our children, I would like to start by reminding us all that our children are good, really, really good. They all want to love us well, and they want to be loved by us. They want to play nicely and be with their siblings and friends and share and learn at school. And the reason that that might not seem like they're so good at times is not because something has gone bad with them, but because something interfered with their sense of connection to us. And they are too hopeful and too optimistic to keep going like this without letting us know how hard it feels. There are many reasons why our kids' sense of connection can break, and some of them I've mentioned earlier. It could be things from everyday life, recent event like, Mommy's on the phone, and she totally forgot about me. My little brother gets all the attention. Or my friend didn't want to play with me today at school. Or maybe even the teacher was looking at me the wrong way. All of these seemingly, you know, small issues can turn a child's world upside down. And their safe sense of safety and connection can break very easily at a time like that. And it's their mind that is going for the emergency mode. And there's actually no rational thinking at that mode. And at that point, all kinds of nutty behavior appear. Other reasons that kids might not feel as close and connected to us can have its root in their very early hours, days, or months of a child's life. So, for instance, if a child was a preemie, if he was in the NICU, you know, the intensive care unit, right after he was born, or if there were any medical stresses in his life, maybe even during pregnancy or right after birth, all of these can cause a child to feel less safe and confident in his or her physical and mental state. Here again, they go into this sense of emergency that does not seem to have any evident relation to the incident in their past. So life is good for them now. They're healthy, they're safe, they're happy, but for some reason they're acting as if they're not. So hopefully now, after getting a better sense of what makes it hard for both us and our kids, let's see how hand-in-hand listening tools can help you with that. And the first tool I'm going to mention today, and I think it's one of the best tools Hand in Hand can offer, is called Special Time. And as some of you already said, and I'm sure for many of you who didn't speak up, it's also the case. Many of us here on the call today are often finding ourselves locked in a power struggle with our kids. It could start very early when they're very little, even one-year-olds, and they won't eat with a spoon. And it could continue in many other areas in their life, like getting dressed or doing homework or going to sleep. And what we would like to offer today is a way to reduce those bad feelings of frustration on both our ends. Because let me tell you, it's not just you who is frustrated from this situation. I can promise you that your child is as frustrated as you are. And since our kids are good and since they would love to cooperate and do what we ask them to, it just seems that what needs to happen there is that we might need to give them some connection vitamins. That's how we like to call it. If we give them some connection vitamins before we bring our expectations upon them, it might shift things in a really, really good way. So those connection vitamins are what we are calling special time. And what special time means is that we shower our kids with bursts of our full attention. We tell them, I do whatever you want, and try to show as much enthusiasm and delight in the play as possible. We actually allow them to take the lead and take the more powerful role in play. And our only role there is to decide when we do it and for how long. And after we decide we do it, all the rest is our kids' choice. And you can even start with as little as 5 minutes if that's all you have. But even giving your child those five precious minutes of your undivided attention is a really, really, really special gift. What we sometimes see is that children might choose special time to work on some difficulties that they face. One story that I would like to share from our family is that right after our family moved back to Israel, one of the things that my younger daughter was struggling with at school, she was in second grade, is finding some new friends and dealing with the kids that were not being nice to her. She had a lot of social problems in school, which she didn't have back in the States. So it was obvious that the move had made something happen at that arena. And and it was really, really hard. She hardly had any friends, and no one wanted to play with her, and it was harsh. And sometimes when I would do special time with her, she would take some of her stuffed animals and treat them really badly. And, you know, sometimes we look at our child being mean, even if it's to a stuffed animal, you feel like, oh, no, why is she doing that? Oh, no, oh, that's wrong. No, I can't let that happen. But since that was special time, and at special time she knew she could do whatever she wants and I will follow, that's what we did. And so she would really treat those stuffed animals badly. She would throw them, bite them, sit on them, kick them. And all she wanted me to do at those times was to be the one who try really, really hard to save them. I had to run around the house and get her and try to take the stuffed monkey out of her teeth and hug and pet and kiss him to comfort him. And me doing this would bring a lot of laughter into our play. And she would do it over and over and over again. And this was actually one of her ways to show me what she was going through socially and to help her offload some of that social stress that she was going through the laughter that she was having. So in a way, the fact that she had this place where she could really work on how hard things was for her was enabling her to process it and to gain more and more confidence in trying to reach out for more friendships. And that's what we saw. I have another story here, but I think I'm going to let Catherine share one of her stories about how Special Time helped her with her son. Catherine, would you like to share your Special Time anecdote?
Actually, Ravid, if you want to share the other one that you have, I don't have a Special Time anecdote.
Okay. Okay. All right. No problem. Yeah. I'm thinking that I think there was a parent prior to this call that wrote me about having trouble with sibling rivalry, and maybe some of you here are dealing with that too. I'm just going to talk a little bit about that in Special Time. Because many of us looking for ways to help our kids cooperate and behave well around their siblings or, you know, other children as well. And here too, Special Time is extremely helpful. So when kids are showing some very rough or aggressive off-track behavior, we tend to think that we must do something to stop that behavior right away. And there again, we find ourselves caught up, you know, in all kinds of behaviors that we know are not very useful, like scolding or punishing or isolating or ignoring. And one of the first things that you can do to help a child who is locked, and they're really locked in this type of behavior, is offer him Special Time. Because aggressive kids usually carry some heavy load of fear. And it's this type of attention that builds trust and safety to help them realize we are there for them no matter what. It's that tone of ours that tells them we see it's hard, but we still want to connect. And there's a child psychologist named Sue Jenner, who is the author of a book named The Parent-Child Game, that found that children who were very difficult and badly behaved had all too little child-led play with their parents. She used child-led play as a key tool in strengthening the emotional bond between parent and child, and she repeatedly found that when parents were taught how to do it, children stopped their extremely challenging behavior and were a delight to be with. So I think what the latest research shows us here is that child-led play is likely to activate all kinds of areas in our brain which have a chemical substance in our body that have the power to reduce level of stress and have anti-aggressive properties, and this is what Special Time is actually all about. One more thing to keep in mind is that sometimes after you've had a great playtime center, you know, on an issue that a child is working on, or any kind of Special Time that you have with your child, and you're gonna ask them to do something, and then your child will have a big crowd about it, still not wanting to brush her teeth or eat her food or get dressed. And this is actually something you can expect. So by doing doing this, what our kids are showing us, they're actually taking one more step towards dissolving the feelings of powerlessness that they were having. Because Special Time is such a powerful tool, it's helping our kids feel more close and more connected to us. And now that it feels so safe, they can bring up some of the bad feelings that they have. And so sometimes the end of Special Time itself can bring up that feeling for us, for our kids, not for us. And this is, again, another opportunity to allow our children to work through some of the bad feelings that they've been carrying. And this actually leads me to the next tool that I'm going to talk about, which is called Stay Listening. So the special time is about, it's the glue that keeps us together. It's about the connection and the safety and the trust that we build together. And when that happens and when that is built, often our kids will go into showing us what really sits underneath it all. And stay listening means allowing your child to feel. We allow them to feel sad or mad or scared, and we do that with our caring and loving presence. And all we need to do as we stay listen is to stay close and offer our warmth and eye contact and very, very few words of reassurance. What we can say there is, I know it's hard. I'm going to stay right here with you. Especially around the end of special time, sometimes the feelings that might come up are feelings of, I want more, or you never play with me. You will often hear that after having a good session of special time. You never listen to what I want. You never play with me. Please don't take these accusations personally. And remember that you don't have to fix or change anything. All you need to do is to let them know you're there for them. You pour in your support while they pour out their fear and upset. What we also see sometimes is how kids would get really mildly hurt during special time, but they would feel the urge to cry really, really hard about it. And this, again, would happen because the safety and the closeness that was built through special time made it feel safe to bring up all feelings of getting hurt. Could be physically hurt, could be emotionally hurt, but just to work on this hurt. And and if because they didn't have a chance to work on that hurt in the past, they used this opportunity to heal from it now. And through this process of crying or of getting really angry or really scared in our presence, we actually allow our kids to shed the bad feelings that they carry and heal from those bad experiences that they've been through. After a big cry or a tantrum about such a small thing, your child will feel much more secure in the world and much less inclined to oppose your request. Because you were there for them and you listened and you cared, they offloaded what seemed to be wrong and now they can be much more relaxed. They can be much more cooperative and oftentimes much more affectionate too. So this will be your sign that you've been able to listen to him all the way through. And I'm sorry forgetting that you were supposed to share your anecdote here, Catherine. So would you please share your stay listening anecdote here?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I couldn't even tell you forgot. So I want to tell you all about when my son was 4 and he needed to have dental work done in a series of appointments. There were going to be 4 appointments. And so we kind of treated it like a big emotional project, and we did a lot of play and giving him information beforehand to try and help him get ready for it. So I explained that the dentist was under time pressure during her appointment, so there wouldn't be time for him to feel all of his feelings during the appointment. And the dentist was technically excellent, but to be honest, I wondered why she and the people in her office wanted to work with children, because they really didn't have much patience. But we just tried to get as ready for it as we could. And so we would play and practice. We would have him sit back and hold his mouth open for increasingly longer amounts of time. I would sing a song. And we'd agree how many times I would sing it before we stopped. We practiced other things that were going to happen in the dentist office. And sometimes he would have feelings even just during the practice. And so I would listen to him, you know, how Ravid was describing until the feelings passed. But, you know, there's only so much you can do to get ready for something, especially when you're little and you don't really understand what's coming. So we did get through a couple of appointments, you know, with lots of that preparation. They went okay, but after he came home from the second appointment, I could tell he was feeling really badly. He was angry and sullen, and so I got down close to him, and I told him that he had done a wonderful job at the dentist, and he got angry, and he said he hadn't done a good job, and I said, yes, you really did. You really did a good job. And then he just burst into tears, and he just kept saying again and again, no, I didn't. And I told him that I was sorry that it had been so hard and that the dentist wasn't more patient with him, wasn't able to be more patient with him. And just to give you a picture, you know, by this time we were just lying on the kitchen floor next to each other. And I tried to snuggle with him as closely as I could, because I was in the room with him during the procedure, but I wasn't able to have much physical contact with him. And so when we were snuggling, my son cried really hard for about 15 minutes and finally fell asleep right there on the floor. So I stayed close by, and after about a 30 minute or so nap, he woke up and cried some more and just needed to stay really close for the rest of the day. But the following day, he seemed back to his, you know, his happy, confident, playful self. And it was just so much work to prepare for and recover from those appointments. And we really used every one of the hand-in-hand tools. Listening partnerships were important because my husband and I just got angrier and angrier about the way we were all treated by the dentist. But, you know, we were able to keep our cool when we spoke with the staff, and my son came through it without feeling badly about himself or the dentist. And now, when he looks back on it, it seems like it's an unpleasant memory for him, but there's no trauma related to him, to it. You know, he takes really good care of his teeth. He's not afraid of going to the dentist now. And you know, we eventually found new dentists who were better with children, but we're glad that we did that project, that emotional project, and we're able to have such a positive outcome for our son.
Wow. What a lucky kid.
Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting towards the end of the call, and I do want to mention one more tool that is really, really important, as I said before, and Catherine just mentioned it, and that's the listening partnership tool. We talked a lot about the kids and what we could offer them and what we could do with them. You know, the special time is the more proactive kind of tool we can initiate, and the stay listening is just something we can respond with to their when feelings erupt. But actually, one of the best things to start with when we're having a really hard, challenging time with our kids, the best way to start is by taking care of ourselves. So the first thing to do is to start with our own feelings, just like, you know, those airlines safety videos go when we fly, and they tell us we must put the the oxygen mask on us before we put it on our kids, even if it goes against our instincts. And it's the same thing here. In order to help and support our children well, when times are hard, we really need to make sure that we are well-resourced first. Children are extremely sensitive to how we are feeling, and we are the ones who set the tones of the household. So if we are overwhelmed by the situation that we're dealing with, which of course can be natural, it can be really, really hard for our children. So one of the hardest things for our children is actually to see a grown-up around them all clouded with heavy feelings that they don't offload. So for you to communicate the child that all is well, you will need to help yourself see that first. And what that means is spending time talking with a good listener. So think about someone in your family or among your friends that you can talk about your own feelings, the positive and the negative. You want to voice your fears. Talk about things like, what's going to happen with this child? Is it always going to be like this? Talk about your frustration and your anger. Really say, I just can't take it anymore. Just, can someone take away this child from me? And you really let yourself say all those things that you hardly even let yourself think. This will help you set an open and positive tone for your child and gather as much of your psychological resources as possible to really support them through. And we call this tool listening partnership because we exchange time with another adult. Again, it could be a friend or a family. And each one gets a turn to talk uninterruptedly and a chance to fully feel. And that's the key here. So it's not just talking, but it's actually talking in a way that allows us to access our own feelings. I want to share a little bit about how this tool was helping me. And again, one of the hardest times for our family was our move back to Israel. Because my husband had to stay and work in the U.S., and that meant very long periods of time for me, not being together as a family. And it meant for me getting into a single mom role, which I've never chosen. I never really wanted to be a single mom. And it meant much more support needed for my daughters because they were dealing both with a transition and with their father absence at the same time, and that wasn't an easy task. And what I learned, that the emotional support that I got from my listening partnerships at the time have helped me face the true challenges of this change. It was the ability to express all the hard and intense feeling that I had that have helped me to feel more confident, both about my move and about being able to make it here, to be able to stay. And it helped me be more ready to give my daughter the support and the listening that they needed. One thing I remember in particular was a time when my oldest daughter was, we had a really stressful time between us, and I remember taking some listening time around my feeling about her and my frustration with her and the fact that I had to deal with it all by myself. And I was really loud and I cried a lot. And one of the fascinating things that I remember from that listening time was that shortly after I finished it, I went to her room. I wanted to ask her something or tell her something. I can't even remember what. And she was just coming out of her room, and she took one look at me, and she threw her arms around me for a hug. And I was in shock because at that time I couldn't even expect something like that to come from her, because those were really stressed time between us. She was a teenager by then, so. and I also remember that later on in that evening, I was driving her somewhere, and we were sitting together in the car, and she said, "Mommy, can I share with you something? Something I wouldn't usually share with you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure." And she really shared something very personal about her life. And I think it was really, really nice for me to see and experience how sometimes it's the emotional scrubbing that we do ourselves. There was nothing I was doing actually with her, but it was just the fact that I was working on my own issues. That it really, our children can instinctively sense it, and it really opens the door to a warmer and closer relationship with them, without actually changing a thing in the way that we do things with them. So So this is how the listening partnership can really help us transform our lives. And one of the benefits of joining the parent intensive class that is going to start in September, and I'm going to lead one of those groups, is that we actually have a community of like-minded parents that you can have a listening partnership with. And it's also having this long-lasting support groups that are led by an instructor, where you get to build a support network for yourself. And it's really a key to finding your way out of those hard times. I think at this point, we don't have a lot of time, but maybe I will leave room for maybe one question. And let's see. So if you have a question that we didn't, you feel like we didn't touch on, please press star 2. So I will see your hand raised here on my screen. And we can help you with that. Okay. I see you, Erica. Erica. Here, I think I unmuted you. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Erica.
Yeah, I had a question. I do special time with my children and also listening time as well. What's it called again? Listening? Whatever it's called.
Listening partnership?
Yeah, I do listening partnerships, but listening to them as well.
Ah, stay listening.
Listening, that's the one. So yeah, my older daughter's 6 and I've just separated from her father, which is a very difficult time for her, and she's very sensitive. And I try to do stay listening, so when she throws a tantrum about something, I'll try and stay with her and listen, but it goes on and on and on, and she doesn't get to it. She's constantly, it's like she's trying to push it away and distract herself. And she's got so good at distracting herself, she'll use anything. So she'll try and shut a door, and if I've got time, I'll spend a bit longer and stay outside the door and tell her that I'm there. And if I haven't, and I feel also like she's lashing out and maybe hurting me or hurting a special book or her sister, I'll step in and take her and keep her close to me and hold her. But she will then start really crying, but she won't let herself get to it. She'll find a way out, and she'll go to her sister and cuddle behind her, and it gets really complicated, and it just goes on and on and on, and it'll carry on for an hour, 2 hours, if I let it. And I just don't know how to help her get to the core of the fears that she has.
Thank you for that question, Erica. And you say she's 6, right?
6, yeah.
So sometimes when our kids get a little bit older, and I've seen that with my older daughter, because I haven't started using the tools when she was younger, they kind of have this resistance of actually getting into feelings, because they know it's painful, and you know, they've had some years of dealing with it and know how painful it felt to just carry it and not offload it. And so they kind of try to avoid it. And as they grow older, you know, the packet of isolation that they build around them gets thicker. And what happens is that once we learn about these tools, we feel like we have this revelation, and, oh, yeah, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to get to the root of those feelings and help my daughter offload all the feelings that she carry. And we get all excited about that. But what happens is that it's not very helpful for our children if we're actually trying to, in a way, milk their their tears or their crying. So I think what helped me is, in a way, and I see that with other parents as well, is actually not to have, like, an agenda or an expectation or an anticipation for them to go for it or to cry it out or to offload, or not to have that expectation, but actually to go more, especially right now when she's resisting it. And she's, what I would focus more right now is actually just in the connection. So put the volume up on special time. If you're doing it once a week, maybe try to do it twice or three times a week. And try to add some play listening. I think play listening is really, really valuable, because it's not only about them taking the lead, but it's also about getting physically close and building the connection through some really fun time where we're roughhousing, or we're doing some physical things together that that involve laughter. And just put in your mind that I'm not going to worry about the tears. I'm not going to worry about the feelings right now. All I care is for her to know that I'm right here for her. I love her. I care for her. I know she's going through a hard time right now. It's not easy for a child to go through separation. And all I want her to know is that she's not going to lose me. She's not going to lose my love. I'm going to be there for her. And it's not the things you're going to say. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to verbalize it. But it's really the way that you're going to be with her and offer your presence and your playfulness and your and just your physical presence. That's what I would concentrate right now. And I think through this, what's going to happen is that safety will build and trust will build. And she would be more, she would be able to trust you more in offloading her feelings. So right now, it just doesn't feel like she can handle it, or maybe you can handle it. It just feels like too much. And by giving her those extra dosage of connection vitamins through special time and play listening, it would make it clearer for her that she can trust you with her feelings too, and she can bring it, and that you're not going to be overwhelmed by it, which might be also something that you need to work on, because sometimes our kids' feelings do overwhelm us, and you do want to think a little bit of, do I really able to handle it, or maybe it's going to be much. So that's another direction to take. But for now, just not trying to go for the tears. The tears will come, but the connection will have to be there strong first. Does that make sense, Erica?
Yeah, it does. Thanks very much.
All right. Okay, so we did run a little bit over time. I'm sorry about that. Let's see. Catherine, do you want to share details about any upcoming class that you have in your area? I think there was one, at least one parent that I saw from Michigan. I'm not sure if it's closed, but is there anything that you want to share about a class you're teaching?
Sure, I could just say that this fall I have a six-week starter class for parents in September and October, and then a three-week Understanding Tears and Tantrums class in November, and all of that and, you know, other details about me and what I offer are on my website, which is supportforgrowingfamilies.com.
Great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I'm really happy we did it together today.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks.
Yeah, it was. And I also want to thank you all for making it to this call. It has been a really short introduction to how you can use the hand-in-hand tools to help your family in challenging times. And I hope you found the information helpful. And if you would like to learn more, you can really join one of our upcoming classes. They're all listed on the website, both the online one and the in-person one. And as I said, the Parent Intensive class, which is which gives you a more condensed, and some of it is individual. We're having group calls, and we're also having one-on-one consultation with the class as well. And that class will start on September 26th. Actually, it's going to start. My class is Tuesday, September 26th, but I think another call will start on Monday of that week. And it's going to be at 9:30 UK time. And I hope you can join me there or enjoy any of the other offerings that Hand in Hand has to offer you parents. And thank you again for taking the time to be here today. It was really, really good to talk with a few of you. And thank you again. And have a good day or a good night or wherever you are, a good something. And hope to hear from you at some point. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.